a very healthy balance between the sovereignty of God, meaning his bigness, his greatness, the fact that he can do anything he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. Amen? That's the type of God we serve. But we need to balance that out with the fact that God also calls each of us to say, although I can do anything, I call you to partner with what I'm doing, not only for his benefit, but for your benefit. And as we partner with God, actually we are blessed as we partner with the Lord in these things. I feel like the best way for me to describe this balance is there's this argument in Christianity. If you're a bit of a theology geek, you would have heard of the terms Calvinists and Arminianists. Now, it's something that people argue over in the church that I think it's such a silly argument many times. I just say, just leave me alone. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not an Arminianist. But I just quickly want to explain it to you. The big argument is people say when we look at the Bible, there's this argument in Christianity that some say because of God's sovereignty, as I just said, God chooses you and you don't have a say in the matter. It's like when he calls you to be saved, you are going to be saved. And that comes with a whole host of different doctrines or beliefs. But basically, it focuses on the sovereignty of God, his choice, his bigness, and we sort of get pulled into his plan. That's on the one extreme end. Then there's the other part of this argument called Arminianism. Arminianism focuses on man's choice, meaning God died for you, Jesus died for you, but you have to choose to follow him. And people have been arguing over this for a very long time, and I want to put it to you that I think that there is somewhat of a balance that we can even find. If you had to push me, I would probably say, theologically, I think that I had a choice in following the Lord. He reached out to me, he died for me. I didn't do anything to deserve his favor, deserve his grace. But I remember on the 2nd of March 2007, that's how old I am, I was 17 years old, you can do the math. I remember distinctly putting up my hand and saying, I want to follow Jesus. Maybe some of you, you'll do that today. There will be something of you deciding that although you can't earn your salvation, you just say yes to God who purchased salvation for you. But I also want to say that although it feels like I had some choice in the matter, honestly, I don't know if I did. It feels like in that moment when I met the Lord, he was just so good. He was so kind. He was so loving. He so revealed himself to me. He so showed me what he did on the cross that I feel like I was pulled like a magnet, like I couldn't resist God. And so although I believe I had a choice in the matter, somehow if I look at my experience, I feel like, God, could I really choose anything else but you because you are so good? Anyone else feel like that? It's like, did I even choose to be saved or did God just choose me? I don't even know. But I think in this, there's a very healthy balance theologically that we need to find to say, actually, it's probably both. God is so sovereign. He is so big that he chose you in that moment. And even this morning, if you don't know the Lord yet, I believe he's going to reach out to you and he's going to show himself to you. Maybe in the worship, even as you were singing these songs, you see something of the beauty of God and you feel drawn to it. He is sovereign. At the same time, I believe he puts it before us and he says, I want you to follow me. Would you give your life to me? Would you repent? Would you turn away from your old life? Would you turn towards me? And God would give you that choice even today. So people argue about it, but I say yes and no. The answer is yes and yes, actually. It's yes and yes. And that theme continues throughout your life. God will accomplish his purposes on this earth, whether you buy in or not. Did you know that? God is going to reach the people he wants to reach. God is going to do the work he wants to do. God is sovereign. He is big. He can do whatever he wants. But somehow there's this healthy balance that somehow he also says, but I want you to work with me. I want you to choose to partner with me. I want to look at Psalm 50, verse 9 to 12, and then verse 14. This is so beautiful. The Israelites bring their sacrifices to God. And I think they're erring on the side of saying, well, we're falling into ritual because it's all man-based. I'm doing my work for God and God is happy with me. And God wants to remind them, no, no, no. Before you try and do anything for me, remember that I can do everything for myself. And as we approach this building project, and as we approach to see what God wants to do with this building, the first thing we need to know is actually you can't contribute. Actually, God will do what he wants to do when he does, when he wants to do it, however he wants to do it, without us. He is moving in Bloemfontein. He wants to reach people in Bloemfontein. He wants healthy New Testament church in Bloemfontein, and he will accomplish his purposes. In fact, even on a practical level, this building was bought without any of us probably giving a dime to it. We didn't contribute, but the building is bought. Renovations, that's another story. But the building is bought. We can use it. God has done it. Psalm 50, verse 9 to 12. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds for these sacrifices. For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were angry, I would not tell you, for the world in its fullness are mine. Do you see the bigness of God? Do you see the fact that although they bring sacrifices to him, he's saying, just woe, I don't need your sacrifices. I don't need your offering. I am sovereign. I am God. But then we jump a couple of verses. But then still he says, he balances it on this side, but then he says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. So God is actually balancing it out to us. He's saying, I own everything. When you bring with that in mind. Bring out of thanksgiving, not because you think that you are doing God a favor. None of us are ever doing God a favor. We get to be with God. Does that make sense? You following me? So in that sense, God's plan will go ahead. He will go ahead. And a lot of what God has done, even here, for us to get to this point of buying the building, was based on the sacrifices that other people made and not what we made. If you've ever heard the story of Josh Chen and how it was started and how we had to buy our first building, that first building, I've spoken to people, know them personally, who sold houses to be able to buy the first buildings for Josh Chen. I've spoken to people who have sold cars, who have given up way more than they could, but as a sacrifice to God, who have done that, who have plowed into what we call a building fund so that this can take place for us. There are others who have sacrificed so that we can walk in the blessing of God. Others have sold their houses so that we can reach Bloemfontein for Jesus. Some of them will never meet us in their lives, but they've given their finances in view of a good God, in view of a wonderful big God, and they've said, I give to him because he is sovereign. He doesn't need me. I give to him, and he will do with it what he wants. And so it's beautiful that that has actually happened. But I'd love to read you also out of Philippians 16, Philippians 4, verse 16 to 19. Because here Paul gives us a different perspective on how God works with us, how God wants to partner with us. He looks at the sovereignty, and he still has in mind that God doesn't need anything from us. But then he says this, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. He's speaking about money here, if you go read the context. He's saying, I was in Thessalonica, and you sent me money. Next verse. Not that I seek the gift. He's like, God provides for me. You are not my provider. God is not. I don't seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He's saying, God is my provider. You are not. But when you give, God blesses you. And I want God's blessing for you. That's why I want you to give towards me. Isn't that a fresh take on finances? Saying, when you give, I want you to give, not because I need it, but because you need it. We want to sow our money, not because the church needs it, but because we need to be faithful to God and give ourselves to him, because then he will bless us. I've received full payments and more. I'm well supplied. I've got everything. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, listen to how he speaks of it. When we give, when we partner with God, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. That's how we give. We give out of thanksgiving. We give out of saying, Lord, thank you that you are willing to use me to sow into your kingdom. And then I want to say to you this morning, even as we do that, it is a privilege. And when we give, I want to look at just an example. It's not going to be the longest message. I want to look at an example with you. But when we give, each of us will only give what we want. I don't need to know what you give. If you give to this building fund, if you feel like God is prompting you to give, you don't put your name next to it. We don't care who gives. The point is, if we are doing it towards God, then we give what we can. That's how we give. And my commitment is that I will also give. And as elders, we want to say that we will also give as elders. I'm not standing here as a professional minister trying to tell you, you must do it, but I will not do it. I want to sacrifice for the Lord out of thanksgiving towards the Lord. I want to do it. I want to go look at our finances and say, man, it's tight. This is going to be difficult, but how can we do it? How much can we do? And if I do that before God, you will not know how much I give, but God sees. God knows my heart, and God will bless me for the faith that I place in Him as I do that. And so the question is not necessarily how much you give, it is whether you give. Whether you will trust God here and say, Lord, I will give what I can. That's how we do it. But as an eldership team, we're probably going to have a meeting, and I'm probably going to sit together and say, have you given? And we have to give. We have to be an example. And I don't need to know how much the elders gave. I just need to know, did you bring it before the Lord, and are you faithful what He's asking you to give? Have you given that? And we will answer it. And I'm probably going to sit with the leaders and say, come on, if we're leaders in God's house, we need to be the first to do it. And I want to ask each leader, if you're sitting here, whatever you can, we need to give. This is our house. If you invest in something, it becomes your own. We did these outreaches in Wellington years ago. And at first, we made it for free. We said, you could come. Just come for free. And we realized that there was a lack of fruit. And then we said to the people, if you want to come to these outreaches, it was open air worship and evangelism evenings, we said, just bring R5. And as we did that, it changed completely, because where people gave their money, they were invested. I'm they're not just not going to pitch up because I gave my money for it. R5 10 years ago was more than it is now, okay? Now you can buy a Chappie. Then you could buy a bottle of Coke, I think. But there was an investment. And in the same way, when we invest in something, our heart follows and there's a commitment from us. But as elders, as leaders, we will be the first to give to what God wants to do here. I want to just read you three scriptures. Look at an example in the Bible, and then we're going to end. So, balancing these two out. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God's people go out of Egypt, and they go into the wilderness, and they didn't know it, but they were going to be in that wilderness for 40 years. And if you know God, you know that God does not live in a building. Amen? This is not where God resides. That building we've bought, that's not where God resides. God resides where His people come together in faith. The church is people. It's not a building. It's not that. And so even though that is who God is, God would go with His people. In fact, when He went with His people into the desert, it was a pillar of fire by night. That must have been amazing to see. I once saw a house burning down with a thatched roof. That's a pillar of fire, if you've ever seen it. It literally makes a whirlwind and it goes into the sky. And so there was this pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day that was God's presence with His people. But somehow, although God does not reside in a building, He says to His people, I want you to build a building for me and I will be with you. That's the paradox of God. Do I understand it? No. Does God live in that building? No. But will we experience His presence in a special way? I hope so. As we create a space for Him, as we dedicate it to Him, I've been in some places where I worship, where I walk in, and when I worship, it's like the heavens are opened. I don't understand it. It's just like there have been men and women before me who have just like opened the heavens for us. I don't understand it, but God does it. And so He asks His people in the desert, would you build a building for me? They called it a tabernacle. It was a building tabernacle is not right. It would have been the British one. Tabernacle, it's also not right. But He says, build me a tabernacle. Sounds so American, I don't like it. Build me this tent. And I will reside in this tent. I'll be everywhere, but I'll reside specially in this tent. And I just want to show you how God asks through Moses, through his leader, how He asks them to do it. Exodus 25, verse 1 to 2, and then verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel. that they may take for me a contribution. So yes, I can build my own thing, but I'm asking you to contribute. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. Just hear what God is doing here. God does not force us. He doesn't oblige us. If you're sitting here and you're feeling pressure this morning, I'm sorry. Feel no pressure. What the Bible speaks about when we contribute to these things, it's when your heart is moved within you. It's a heart's posture. It's not just doing it because it's the right thing to do. It's, do I do it out of my heart? God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when you do it out of faith, not just out of faithfulness. And so he wants people of faith whose hearts are moved. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. And you can go to verse, did you put on verse 14? I think it's verse 8. Sorry, verse 8. Okay. And let them make me, oh, that is that. Okay. A sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. And so the first thing we learn here is God will move our hearts to give. How well I preach this sermon for me is not dependent on whether we'll be able to upgrade the building. It's not. I trust in God. It's like some people tease. I've got a friend, Ruan Klaassen, lots of you know him. He works for the Department of Waterweese, Waterworks. And he went to Japan the other day. And I said to him, yes, I contributed to your trip to Japan because I pay tax. And people have made that joke to me as well. People have said, oh yeah, enjoy your holiday. I paid for it out of my tithe. And I want to say, no, not completely. You pay God, God pays me. That's how it works. I'm not reliant on whether you give because God is my provider. God just asks you to be faithful in giving your part. And I'm faithful in doing what the Lord has called me for. And somehow God works that out. I don't rely on you. I'm sorry. I rely on God. And all of us should have that heart's posture. We rely on God. And so we rely on God for this building. He is going to do it. But somehow I believe that he's going to move some of your hearts. And he's going to move your heart to give more than you are comfortable with, some of you. I'm going to be there. He's moving my heart there. More than I'm comfortable with. But I want to do it out of a place of faith because it's out of the heart. Then let's look at Exodus 35. Verse 4 to 5, and then 21 and 22. So just four verses. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. So interesting, sorry. When God commands, do I have a choice? Do I? I don't know. But also then he says that my heart was moved. So how does that work? God, you tell me I must do it, but also I want to do it. Isn't that Christianity? Like, I want to do it. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. And this is so cool. Gold, silver, and bronze. Meaning, if you've got gold, bring gold. If you've got silver, bring silver. If you've got bronze, bring bronze. Gold is more valuable than silver. Silver is more valuable than bronze. What is it saying? It's saying, bring what you can. It will look different to each of us. And that's such a biblical lesson. The widow with the two mites, that she gave very little in the eyes of humans. To everyone else, that would have looked like bronze. To God, that looked like gold. In fact, it looked like diamond because she gave all that she had. And so God will not ask you whether you can give 1 million rand, or whether you can give 1,000, or whether you can give 100. He's asking, will you give out of faith? Will you give with faith? Will you bring what you have? And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him again. And everyone whose spirit moved him again and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its services and for the holy garments. Is that the last one? So they came, both men and women, all who were willing, who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets. So they brought what they had. It wasn't like every one of us must give 1,000 rand, then we'll reach our targets. It's not that. They brought what they had. Where am I? All sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And so what is your five, what, two fish and five loaves? Five fish and two loaves. How wrong, huh? Five loaves, two fish. Amen. Listen to Andrew. Five loaves and two fish. What is your contribution? What do you have in your hand? What can you give? That's what God would ask to give. And again, it's if your heart is moved. If you don't give this morning, that's fine. God will provide. But what can you give? That's the lesson here. And it's an offering to the Lord as we bring these things. And then this is so amazing. Just these last verses, Exodus 36, verse 5 to 7. So people start bringing their things, they bring their gold, they bring whatever they can, whatever their hearts are moved to bring. And this is so cool. And the people say to God said to Moses, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. Just wait there. Much more than enough. You know what I love about this is it was not compulsion and it was not obligation. Compulsion and obligation will never get us as far as hearts given to the Lord. But as people gave because they wanted to, because it was an overflow of their hearts, because it was out of thankfulness for God, they brought more than enough. A couple of years ago, probably 6-7 years ago in Joshtin, we wanted to purchase a building and do upgrades to a building. And we did a building fund drive in Cape Town. And we had a certain amount in mind. It was a lot. It was a couple of million that we needed. It was a piece of land that we bought in Durbanville. Those of you who've been to the Durbanville building, Pinehurst, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. That church has exploded. Hundreds of people have gotten saved because of it. But it is very expensive. To build there, to buy that land, very expensive. And they had an amount. I'm going to say it. Can I say it? Will you be offended? Okay. The amount, because it was also for our building in Mossel Bay, it was also for our building in Woodstock, there was a lot. The amount was 12 million rand that we needed. Very quickly, Andrew and them said, stop, we're sitting on 36 million rand. As people brought, there was one individual that brought 1 million rand a month for 12 months. I don't know how rich you must be to do that. You must be very rich. And those givings have contributed to us probably putting up 4 or 5 buildings. In Worcester, we bought a building. And everywhere we've done that, we've been able to reach further. It's acted like a base for the region for us to reach and train people. And the same's going to happen here. People, Adams this year from Kimberley, the guy from Bethlehem will come. This region, Central South Africa, will be reached because of this. It's a similar thing, but people brought more than enough. And in fact, I think we bought our building out of that offering 6 or 7 years ago. We bought this building out of the sacrifice of people then. Isn't that beautiful? Why did I say that? Okay, there was more than enough. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout all the camp. Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Imagine that. Please, restrain is like this. Don't give. Stop it. Stop giving. Stop it. That's restraining. It's like, no, but I want to give. No, stop it. Stop it. That's restraining. It's like, please don't give. We've got enough. We don't know what we'll do with it. But I think that's when we really trust God. That's when we really like God can do it. And our hearts are so wanting to do it because I want to give to God and not to people, not to Bloom, not to Josh Jane. Who cares about those things? We don't care about the name Josh Jane. We want to give to the kingdom of God. When we've got that heart, oh man, it's so beautiful. We'll have to say, stop, we've got more than enough. Is there a verse? For the material there, it's sufficient to do all the work and more. And so I think we'll contribute in different ways. Some of us, maybe we can only give a little, but we can come to a work party where we say we're going to paint. Who can come help us paint? We're going to do that. Who can come help us fix a crack in the wall, install new windows, pull out the carpets, put in new carpets, things like that. But we give out of thankfulness to the Lord. And why do we do that ultimately? Because we've got the perfect example. Jesus gave everything that he had for us to know him. Whenever we give anything to the Lord to bless other people, we only follow the example of Jesus, of God the Father, who gave his one and only Son. You know this verse so well, and with this I'm ending. For God so loved the world, it was not out of compulsion, it was out of love, that he gave his only Son. He gave his everything. He gave the one he loved most. He gave that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whenever we give anything to the Lord, it ails in comparison to what God the Father gave to us through Jesus. So let's stand just in thanksgiving to the Lord.